Mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is that Old Testament reading from the book of Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Dear friends in Christ, Jonah wants an abortion. Actually, he wants God to get an abortion. Of course, he would never do it himself, but he supports the option remaining available for Nineveh, even if it means absconding across state lines to Tarshish. Jonah, in this open-minded attitude of tolerance and equality, advocates severing these Assyrians' umbilical life support. Clearly, the Ninevites were a mistake. They were unfortunate, kind of awkward, and unwanted. One way or another, either by neat neglecting or untidy action, Jonah wants to see these Ninevites euthanized, if you will. You see, their continued existence makes him, well, it makes him a little uncomfortable. They embody his mistake, you see. They remind him of all of his limits. They represent an unintended interruption and an inconvenience to Jonah. Is he supposed to basically suspend his priorities and single-parent them? Nineveh is not the way, is not on the way to where his career plans are headed. I mean, they're way out of the way. Did he ask to get blindsided by their exceptional needs and be left saddled with the responsibility for them? No. Of course, this doesn't mean he has no use for them. In fact, Jonah does find the Ninevites quite important. They matter. Well, their punishment matters at least, in order to pad his pride and to, you know, improve his ego. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah's kind of, well, he's kind of happy to cry this out throughout the city. I mean, as he camps, he's, and then of course, after he's been walking through the city for 3 days, he camps outside the city to wait and to watch and to hope for the worst. Nineveh's suffering matters to Jonah, basically to demonstrate his superiority. Their mistakes and their misfortunes matter because they're pawns to advance his agenda. They matter as playthings to use for his own amusement. They matter as tokens and trophies to justify his own self-indulgences. They matter as human shields to deflect any of his own ethical responsibility and ethical accountability. They matter not as persons, not as peers, not as hearts or lives. They don't matter in those ways. They matter to Jonah almost as much as he does, but not for their own sake. They matter for his sake. If you were to afford them the dignity to do such devices, then basically euthanize and abort them whenever you're done. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you matter too. You matter. To supporters of access to elective abortion, you matter. To those who are opting for assisted suicide, you matter. To embryo experimenters and fetal tissue pharmaceuticals, you matter. To all of those power brokering lawmakers, you matter. To all the marketers of consumer culture, to this society of sexual license, you matter. You matter to all of the idolizers and the of attractiveness and productivity. You matter to all those who crusade for progress and for revolutionaries. To agents of the death industry, you matter. To hands that hunger to hold authority over life and death, you matter. To all these sinful souls wanting to play God, you matter. Your ambitions matter because they can be exploited for their benefit. You need their support for your political aspirations, and they need yours in order to stay legitimate. Your insecurities matter so that they can be expended for their pleasure. Maybe you've always felt ugly, but it's what I've got something that he wants. Your crises matter so that they can be leveraged for their profit. You or your insurance coverage as a paying customer. Your weaknesses matter to validate their flesh's drives and desires. You really wanted it too, right? Your questions and your regrets matter to disguise their selfish rebelliousness. You surely don't want anyone else to know what you've done. I mean, or how guilty you feel, right? Your sexuality matters to maximize their convenience, their comfort, their luxury, their lust. You're a consenting adult, at least you're an in-love teenager. Your unborn and your elderly make great sacrifices to the God of choices. They can't speak for themselves, or they're too old or frail to put up much of an argument anyway. Even if you don't surrender your helpless ones, you yourself will serve as a human shield. You think about it from this point of view. Why raise you from sin's clutches when I could actually wrap myself inside sin's grip with you? Or better yet, wait until sin is tired of you and then jump in and take your place completely. Your suffering warrants my freedom. Your consequences facilitate my promiscuity. Because you sin, I should get to sin also. Should something come for me, should something be coming for us, let them chew you up until they choke, and then I skate, no strings attached. And if I can scare the law back from you, if I can bluff your way off the hook, well, then I'm off the hook as well. I stand on the side of history. I'm a hero. The same salvation that I designed to dismiss your sins, well, guess what? It dismisses mine as well. Just sit there like a good hostage and let me negotiate for the both of us. Everyone wins when you let me use you. Never mind that it looks a lot like hell. It only costs you your pesky humanity. That's the world. That's sin. That's Satan. That's what's out there. But rather than punish us, what God does is he pursues us and he persuades. Instead of condemning, he courts us and he convinces us. God's love comes big enough to make every single life matter. His love comes big enough so that Jonah and Nineveh matter. Man, animal, plant, from the greatest to the very least, where the Ninevites would settle for sex scenes, God writes them into a love story. When Jonah is angling for a breakup, this God Our God orchestrates yet another grand romantic gesture. They're heading for the divorce, but he's already arranging a real whale of a next date. They would slink into a one-night stand, but he'll have none of it. And he serves up happily ever after. Both Jonah and those Ninevites would literally accept spiritual prostitution, but the almighty maker of them all can't stand any less than proposing marriage and family as well. He doesn't just want to insist on their obedience. He wants to win their love. He prizes their eternity beside him above their apology to before him. He doesn't just long for their productive adulthood. He aches for their arriving, however beautifully unborn, and their abiding, however delightfully impaired, and their exiting too, however captivatingly aged and unable. And he doesn't embrace the victims and those who are vulnerable only. He even embraces the criminals. He even embraces you and me and the world. Look what at the very end of this in verse 10. When God saw what the Ninevites did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. In four short chapters and in three brief days, God moves the heavens and the earth all for Nineveh. His word secures both their survival and their salvation. He turns away his anger and pays the cost and averts the destruction of the Ninevites' own making. Faced with a Sophie's choice to either keep Jonah or Nineveh at the other's expense, God actually does something different. He sacrifices himself, his majesty. He even sacrifices his own justice instead. Everyone suffers loss, but only, of course, the loss of self, and gains the other two for the price of that one. Even the Lord God ends up looking like a fool right alongside Jonah and Nineveh. But they all ride off into the sunset together. Your life matters as much as any other endangered life out there. Your entire being matters to God. So much that he leads with his full force law, and he doesn't end it there. He always follows. He follows you and me with a pure, clear, sweet, and fierce gospel, pursuing, persuading you and me of his love for us. See, God doesn't just snap his fingers, sprinkle magic dust, and say a secret word, wave his hand with a shrug, and make all of our problems, all of our obstacles instantly disappear. That's not how God works. He does something unimaginable. He sends Jesus to save us. God himself enters and involves himself all in. He sets his mind, heart, body, and will next to and in front of ours because all of us matter. He's the Son of God. He's Mary's baby. He's innocent and he's our substitute. He's convicted and then vindicated. From the violent cross to the vacant grave. And it's there that he shows us just how much you and me and all of us matter. You see, he inhabits this time. He inhabits time. He inhabits servanthood. All for the blind, for the deaf, the leprous, the lame ones, because your life matters, body and soul. In suffering and humility, he reaches the infant and the elderly and the unplanned and the accidents, and because our lives matter right now and always to God. With his very own body and blood, he touches both the pauper and the harlot, both the Pharisee and the foreigner, because our lives matter to him. Earth and kingdom come. Entire life, even until death, he gives to us unwanted and unworthy and selfish and sinful ones, because our lives matter. He gives to us resurrection and immortality for our sake. He approaches from heaven. He encompasses the grave. And he gives us this vow, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for in sickness and in health, to have and hold, to love and cherish from this day forth and even forevermore. And not even till death do us part from him. Because in death he gives life. Jesus died because our lives matter. Because you matter and he matters. And he thinks our lives matter so much that he gave his life for ours. And that's this Life Sunday what we talk about many times. About all the lives that matter. From the unborn children to those who people look at and say, well, why should this person live? Or to those at the end of life saying, and their families all around them saying, maybe we should just put him out of his misery. They all matter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, your lives matter. Because life matters. Because God gives life. And it's his to give. And it's his to take away. God, this Father, this Son, this Holy Spirit, God of ours, loves making lives matter in our today. Making lives matter out of lives that never did. He can, he does, and he will. There's no further death necessary. He will save us until war finally fades and love prevails in rendering everything fairer today and always, because life matters to God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.